Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, November the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It is time to get going today. And let's begin in the presence of Jesus in consecration. We're opening up the store. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, How Far Can You Throw a Rock? In our text, we're reading Luke chapter 22 today. All day long, whole chapter. Our focus text is verses 39 to 46, the Garden of Gethsemane. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I just have to comment, even before I get going, that's one of the 307 questions of Jesus right there. Why are you sleeping? It's interesting, these disciples, it says they were sleeping for sorrow. They were discouraged and tired and sad. Sometimes people are sleeping for sheer exhaustion. Sometimes people are sleeping from boredom. Why are you sleeping? I don't know who Jesus may be asking that question to out there today, but it just seemed like I wanted to raise it. Now consider this. Here we're given a bird's eye view of the Son of God facing the very highest level of anxiety and stress it is possible for a human being to bear. He is literally carrying the weight of the world and all its sin, death, and diabolical brokenness. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and it has come to the very last night. It is impossible to state, much less to grasp, the level of duress Jesus experienced on this occasion, complete with angelic intervention and blood sweating through his skin. Here's what that's the backdrop. Here's what I want us to notice. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Let's make our gospeling granular at this point. And he withdrew. This is not new. It was Jesus' decided pattern of life. Let's review Luke's log. At chapter 4, verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. He withdrew. At chapter 5, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. At chapter 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. I find my own pattern is more akin to escaping than withdrawing. I tend to escape through some form of distraction or dissociation by some acceptable mode of anesthetic numbing. Maybe for some of you, it's television. Maybe for others, it's wine. Whatever it is, escaping is running away from problems. Jesus didn't run away from pain. He ran into peace. In the face of an untenable pace, he pressed pause and got in step with the Spirit, who is ever crying out, Abba, Father. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. The next time you're in the presence of a rock and there's nothing breakable nearby, I want you to pick up that rock and throw it. Then I want you to step off the distance to where it lands, counting each step. Write down that number. That is the distance from your problem and pain to the presence of God. Remember that number. You're going to step it off. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down. We're getting granular here in our gospeling, aren't we? Focus in until you can see Jesus moving from standing and walking to stopping and kneeling, his knees actually touching the ground. Now, as an act of practice, mirror his movement. He wants to give us the muscle memory of this movement. It is the most important movement in life, from standing and walking to stopping and kneeling, especially in distress. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. And the prayer says it all. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So, how far can you throw a rock? Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us into the Garden of Gethsemane. We were there. And thank you for bringing us that stone's throw further into the courts of heaven. Thank you for kneeling on the ground and for speaking the words we would have never found. And all of this in the most distressing moment of a human being's life in the history of the world. Thank you for being there for us and now with us, for your glory, for others' gain, for our good. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. The journal prompts. So how many steps is your stone's throw? Are you going to do it? Why do you think walking that distance away matters? And do you have a patterned habit of withdrawing from the pace and pressures of your day to draw into the presence of our Father? If not, why not? And how might you and I amend our ways? How about that? And he withdrew about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. I mean, the distance from hell to heaven is about a stone's throw. Isn't that something? It's very interesting that we get that detail right there. I'm looking for a rock right now. Something tells me you're going to look for one today too. Can you imagine just being in the midst of stress? It won't be like his stress, but it might feel like it. And just counting the steps. Just counting the paces. When we reach that number, whatever it is, just stopping. Getting on our knees. And beginning to talk to God. That's the encouragement today. That's the challenge. That's the gift of Gethsemane. And then there's that prayer. Nothing is impossible with you. Not my will, but your will be done. It's a prayer of relinquishment, a prayer of letting go, a prayer of embracing God, come what may, no matter what. A lot of you are facing that moment today, and this is a word for you. So we're headed to the cross. We're going to sing in a minute one of the great hymns of the cross. And we're walking through 22 today and 23 tomorrow, and then 24 is the resurrection. And then we're back to John, and then we're on to the stretch run. Let's don't rush, right? We're in the pace of Jesus. That's about 3 miles an hour. That's walking pace. Today we're going to count those steps about a stone's throw. And it could make all the difference. All right, you ready to sing? All right, Dad. We've been talking today about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed the prayer, Father, nothing is impossible with you. Let this cup of suffering pass me by, yet not my will, but your will be done. And we're going to sing, tell them what we're going to sing here.
We're going to sing a song called, Were You There?
What's our number, hymn number?
Hymn number 249 in our Great Redeemer's Praise hymn book.
That's it. Well, we're going to sing it. We're going to sing all five verses. This is one of the classic spiritual songs. And, of course, We were there because Jesus was there for us. And we're just going to mark it together by singing today. You ready, Dad?
I'm ready.
Were you there when they nailed my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Number two.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Pierced him in the side.
Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine?
Last verse.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Feels like we ought to sing, "Were you there when he rose up from the dead?"
Amen.
Don't you think?
That was the biggest, that's a bigger story.
that's the big story.
That's right.
Let's just make that one up and add it today. You ready?
Yeah.
Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
Hey.
Amen, brother.
We just wrote a new song right there.
Yes, sir. We'll just send that to Hollywood.
Well, that's good for today, Dad. I think that we covered it. And today and tomorrow, on the wake-up call, we're going to go through all those places. And, of course, the day after that, he'll rise up from the dead.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
This is one of the great things about You know, we're used to just covering these stories around Easter time, and like we're reading it now in the fall.
Well, yeah, when it happens.
For Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're gospeling, guys, and it's going deeper. It'll be even better when it comes this spring for Easter time. So, well, that's a good place to put a pin in it today. We got to let people get out on the fields, get their seeds, and for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you on the field.
Amen.